taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, balancing form and essence with Reiki master and host Phyllis Leigh Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and this is Reiki, balancing form and essence. In this series, we're talking to people, or I'm talking to people for your listening pleasure, of people who, for me, have perhaps an insider perspective of what I call the world Reiki movement. And this is not just about one form of Reiki or one practice of Reiki, but this whole movement that might actually become a philosophic, might have a philosophic dimension and therefore would touch people and change the way that we as a society operate. And it's been very interesting so far to speak to Jürgen Kinsler from Germany and Paul Mitchell from the United States. And today I have with me Oliver Klatt, who is a colleague of Jürgen Kinsler's and is now the current editor for the Reiki magazine, which is a German magazine that embraces all the different philosophies and practices of Reiki. And Oliver has also written a book about different practices, and it'll be interesting to talk to him about it. Oliver, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Is it all? We were having a little bit of sound trouble in the beginning. Is it better now?
It has been better. Now it has become a little bit worse. Maybe it's changing. We wait and see and hope that it's getting better. Yeah, me too.
So, Oliver, can you share with the listening audience how you got into Reiki? Like, how did Reiki come into your life?
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, I think it's 15 years now. And first I was very interested in spiritual things like the tarot cards and astrology.
Mm-hmm.
This was my coming into the spiritual world. And then one day I realized that it was only on the mental level. So that I knew a lot about me, but it was a little bit too intellectual or mental or something. And then a friend of mine gave me a Reiki treatment, and it just felt really, really good. So as like something that I really want to have for my own too. And I decided that first day that I received the first Reiki treatment that I will learn this too for me. Yeah, and then it took some months, and I think even a year until I did the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all the time it was clear for me that I will do it.
And then you progressed in your Reiki practice by practicing on yourself and on other people?
Well, yes, I did the seminar, and then the same reaction when I did first degree. I felt immediately, well, yes, this is what I really want to do. And, well, I can say that I treated myself for all these 15 years almost daily.
Uh-huh.
30 or 40 minutes, yeah. And I feel this, like, real progress for me on all possible levels that happened since then, yeah.
Can you, if I asked you, what changed in your way of being, your philosophical, did you have philosophical shifts in your belief systems?
Well, yes, I think so. the main part was that I did not really believe in God before.
Uh-huh.
But today I would say, not from the beginning with Reiki on, but for some years maybe now, so that I would say that I believe in God now. Yeah, let's say it's clear.
Uh-huh.
Like that, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And, yeah.
So would you say that you have become what I would call a spiritual being rather than a human being that is just existing in kind of a void? Or how would you just describe the difference in yourself?
Yeah, I would say that the focus has become more spiritual with the practice of Reiki and with and that the consciousness has come up more about the spiritual level. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So then what drew you to become a Reiki master?
Well, again, it was the same story that I told twice some minutes ago. The first evening of the first degree seminar, I came home and said for myself, well, I will become a Reiki master. Yeah, that's how it was. Yeah, it was not a decision taken by the mental level or something in myself, but it was only there. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well,
yeah.
There are a lot of people like you out there, and it's amazing to me. Do you, because I know that you're a very well-read person and that your mind is very sharp, and I'm wondering how did that feel to you to have such an impactful experience which didn't really come from this very well-honed mind of yours, but came from somehow in your being?
Yeah. You asked me how does that feel for me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, it's natural somehow.
It's great.
It's not an opposite. The two things, the two levels.
Uh-huh.
It can be together. And,
okay.
Well, if the mental level does not want to become too strong, and the spiritual level, like in the game of transformation, you may know, the spiritual level is above the mental level. So if the right order is given, and I succeed in balancing these two levels in the right order, it's okay. They can be both together there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, that's very good. That's really wonderful. Thank you for that clarification, because I think that, this whole program is, my premise for the whole program is balancing form and essence, and I feel that one of the things that I've learned in my practice of Reiki is it's not about giving up something, which I think in the past, that's where my mind went to, but it's more about balancing. So to bring up something maybe that I haven't actually paid much attention to.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it feels a little bit like what you were describing in yourself, where it's not the opposite, it's more you sought something that wasn't from an intellectual place, and you found it and immediately began to balance this part of yourself. You know, that's how I see it anyway.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Great.
I think this happens naturally when you do really the daily treatment with Reiki.
Uh-huh.
I lose it immediately when for one day I do not do the treatment. That's how it is.
Right. That's amazing. And, you know, lots of people would say, well, after 15 years, surely you can go one or two days. But I have to say that for me, in my experience, it makes me more sensitive. Like I'm more aware of my imbalance then. And I just wonder
when you don't treat yourself?
I said, if I don't treat myself,
I see.
You know,
uh-huh.
For I get up in the morning and the telephone rings and then all of a sudden there's somebody at the door and, you know, my whole morning routine is, you know, totally destroyed. Then, by the end of the day, I'm going, oh, I didn't do my Reiki treatment.
Yes, see.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. That's the same for me.
Yeah, great. Well, it's time for our first break. We'll be back with Oliver in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Have you heard of resonance repatterning? Your own vibrating patterns of energy affect everything in your life. Your habits, actions, thoughts, how you feel, the kind of people and jobs you attract or don't attract. Join Chloe Faith Wordsworth every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy and for a whole new understanding of yourself and the self-healing that is possible through resonance repatterning. Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy is heard each week on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking for more than just pop culture astrology? Do you have questions about astrology and what it's all about? Join us every week for Sirius Star Talk, an inside look at the field of astrology and how it influences our world. Host Norma Jean Ream wants to create a voice for intelligent astrology. We'll explore current events through the lens of astrology with some of today's most knowledgeable astrologers. You'll get great information about politics, economics, business, and social trends. Sirius Star Talk can be heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Listen to the intelligent side of astrology.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today from Berlin, Germany, Oliver Klatt, and he's been describing his path of Reiki and his experience of, in within himself, finding a balance between an intellectual and, would you call it, Oliver, energetic experience of spirituality?
Yes. Yeah. Good words to describe that, I feel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Oliver eventually came into contact with Jürgen Kintler and became the editor for this magazine that's a German language magazine, which has been, because of Jürgen's orientation of being inclusive, has been really what I would call a benchmark publication, because from the very beginning it has included different forms of practice of Reiki with a neutrality of exposure, which I've really appreciated and also sometimes envied. And Oliver is taking it to another step of development. So can you talk a little bit about your experience with the magazine, how you came to it?
Yeah, sure. Well, at the beginning it was a little bit like a group of people that Jürgen wrote letters to, and we met some four times a year.
Uh-huh.
And for each issue of the magazine, and it was some kind of an open group or so. And at that time, I was a student of Rainer Bröse here in Berlin, Reiki Master. I think he's initiated by you, Phil.
Yes.
And, through Rainer, I got in contact with Jürgen, and then to this group that did the Reiki magazine at that time. Well, and I just traveled there four times a year and took part of this group, and because I had another job at that time, I was in a publishing house, a small publishing house where I learned to make books and something like that, and but my heart was already for Reiki, and so I had these two levels, and then over the years, it came after my master initiation in the year 2000 that I came back to Germany after the initiation and decided Jürgen was looking for somebody who was doing the editorial work for the magazine, and well, I decided that's something that I would like to do. And we met, Jürgen and me, and at the end of the year 2000, and decided that I will do most of the work. But at that time, so I did the editorial work for 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jürgen, well, did the managing, we could say, or was still the owner of the publishing house that publishes the Reiki magazine. And last year, or even 1.5 years ago, Jürgen decided to wanting to sell the whole publishing house and magazine to somebody else. Well, and I said I would like to do that now with the full responsibility and having my own little publishing house and now stepping into this space and going completely into it.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing since last year.
Wow. You know, when I was hearing your story, I was just getting really excited because it seemed like you started in this one place, and then, you know, you came to Reiki and found balance in yourself, and now you found an outward expression that really joins those two parts of you. I think that's really fabulous.
Yeah, that's what I love with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Sometimes it's a challenge because it's a real challenging place to be, bringing this together, but it's really a grace to, being able to do that.
So over these years of being associated with the magazine, do you see a shift in what I would call the Reiki movement? Do you see the attention going to different places? Or, you know, in the 1990s, it seemed to me that there was a lot of confusion and kind of chaos within the Reiki, Reiki practices, and they didn't really know how to relate to each other. And then somehow it's become more peaceful. Is that your sense also, or are there other themes that you could see within these years?
Yeah. Well, I feel that the problem with the different forms or so, that this is really mostly the past now. It's not actual at the moment. But it's right what you say, that it was in the 90s. So when I was in a master candidate, and I was in Berlin, there was a very, one could say strange evening here in Berlin where I went, and I was shocked about what happened there, different masters of different forms of Reiki, and they had quarrels and everything, and, well, it was terrible at that time. But now I feel that it's nearly over. It's a new level of tolerance and accepting each other and maybe accepting that each form, if it has a certain integrity and a certain value through the years, that it really has had practitioners and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that these all are forms, people are different, you know, we have different religions in the world, and we have different forms of Reiki.
And so would you, if you could see, like, take a couple of steps back and see this as all of Reiki, you know, with all these different beliefs about money and so on, but to see it as a big umbrella, would you, could you imagine calling this a Reiki movement, like a social movement in the world?
Yeah, I thought about this question because you talked a lot about this in the last interview with Paul that I heard one week ago, and I read about it in your little text that you wrote. Well, I have problems a little bit with this word movement because I feel
good.
That it's more on a social or society level. And for me, Reiki is first of all a spiritual thing.
Uh-huh.
So, but I don't say that it does not have any aspect of the movement. But it's for me, it's not the core. It matches not the core of the thing. It's I think it's more that we have a connection to some kind of energy field or energy something called Reiki. And that everybody who is practicing Reiki is connecting there with everybody else who is practicing Reiki, no matter what form they practice.
Uh-huh.
And it's more some kind of connection, and then something happens. For me, it happens from the spiritual level, coming from there, and there's no need to convince somebody or so. Because if you have a movement or something, I talked about that with my wife when we... one hour ago, and she said, the 60s and the movement, and you know, but if you really think about it, there was always some kind of wanting to convince somebody with something. So
well,
for me, this word movement and has to do with convincing, wanting to convince somebody, and on the spiritual level, this is not necessary for me.
Because it is there. And is this true for you? You don't have to convince somebody because it either is or it isn't.
Yes.
For that person.
Yeah. And so if somebody wants to open himself or herself for the spiritual experience, she or he does. And if not, it's not the right time or right place.
Well, that's very interesting. I will definitely take that in. I mean, the thing that I love about these conversations is not agreement, but is in allowing people to express their viewpoints and then having another perspective added to my own, which is really great. And I really love what you're saying right now. So do you, can you imagine another word then? Or is it just that Reiki permeates everything and there's no word?
Yeah, and I thought about that because, so I thought, well, what would I say? I'll call it.
Right.
I think there's a level of connection so that we are all connected. So I love the word connection here. And if we come together on the physical level, I love the word gathering, maybe.
Great. Well, we'll go more into this in just a few moments after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened media for a transforming world.
200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to find dozens of others that, despite everything, are still here today. Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for an open and honest psychic radio show? One that puts everything on the table and pushes the envelope? Are you looking for a psychic radio show that goes beyond spirituality in an entertaining and educational way? Well, check out Christina Predicts. This radio program is where the psychic meets Romper Room. In addition to Christina's readings, we'll discuss soulmates, energy, clairvoyance, feng shui, and much more. Christina Predicts is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the 7th Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me Oliver Klatt from Germany, and he and I have been talking about the Reiki movement, and, you know, his point was really well taken, that he feels, and of course, he's a very precise language person. So, you know, he says that, in his feeling that there's some kind of energy of convincing in a movement, which, of course, I could relate to being a product of the movements, I would say, of the 1960s and 70s. And then you used, Oliver, the word connection and gathering.
Yes,
and could you say more about that?
Well, for me, it describes the quality of the space that is there on the two levels. On the inner level, I would say that there's a connection from here, from myself to the spiritual level. I would say maybe from every Reiki practitioner to the spiritual level. So, and there it comes together on this spiritual level, or like some scientists say, physical field or something. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
And on the other level, on the physical level, if we come together and are in a group with other Reiki people, then, so this is the outward expression. I would use the word gathering.
So, I'm going to bring in your book because I find this very interesting. What motivated you to write this book that, as I remember, describes different practices or forms of practice of Reiki?
You asked for my motivation to write it?
Yeah.
Okay. well, it's, as you know, I received a very traditional master education, and I really appreciate and honor this education, and it brought me to the point where I am. So this is absolutely the basis of my being in Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And on the other hand, there were some points where something was not there, or not so important, but some small points that I found that when I looked around in the Reiki community and saw people from other forms, that I said, oh, yeah, in this point, they are right.
Uh-huh.
In this point, maybe what I had heard is not wrong, but maybe not so right. So for myself, these were little pieces of puzzle that I put together.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, though, my book, Reiki Systems of the World, that has also been translated into English, is a kind of puzzle to put these things together. But for me, it was absolutely fundamental to have my roots into this traditional form.
Uh-huh.
So, and with these roots, I was able to look around and not to lose myself somewhere.
So I like that image of a puzzle because it feels like you're transcends of Reiki in the world, which is about connection. So I'm just putting the pieces together of this puzzle and seeing, do you feel like when you, after you finished the book, that you had a more, I'm going to use the word global, not in the sense of around the world, but in the sense of the different nuances of Reiki, or the different things that Reiki could bring to a person, that you had a more global sense about the connection with Reiki as a human being and what that can bring you.
Well, I think so, yeah. Maybe this was one of the effects that I had. Mostly, I think it just had to be done somehow. So it felt that I just had to write it and do what I had to do, and then it's... Today, this is not my most important theme or so anymore.
No? Interesting.
No, it's many years ago that I wrote the book, and it's good that it's there, and... But there are already some things in it that I wouldn't see the same way today than some years ago. So this is the problem with writing books.
Do you feel like that's because you've progressed in your own studentship of Reiki, or do you feel that it's just having more distance from it?
I think it's what I mean is to having made a progress in my studentship of Reiki. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Could you describe one of those?
Basically, it's the thing that I was very Buddhist-orientated when I wrote the book.
Ah.
Yeah, and I was very interested in Buddhism, especially the years after my master initiation, because there was something, some essence or something that was really important for me to develop or something.
Right.
But on one point, I was not really practicing Buddhist teachings or meditations. I only got the energy or met people who were Buddhist. And, on one point, this was no more the right thing for me.
Uh-huh.
Not from the intellectual level, but from the inner self. And then, well, as I said before, I found out that that there's a God, and that I'm connected to God.
Uh-huh.
And you may know that the Buddhists don't very easily said don't believe in God. They have other light beings or spiritual circumstances, but do not really believe in God as I understand them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if there's some Buddhist who could explain me the opposite, I would like to hear what he says. But in my understanding, they don't believe in God. So for me, I discovered that there is a God and that I could open myself for him. And so this was, for my spiritual life, a whole important turning point.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And how, in taking this point, how did that affect how you were as a social, as a member of a society, like the society in, you know, the community in Berlin, just, you know, all the people in Berlin, or being a German citizen, or being a citizen of the world.
Yeah. You mean what has changed through this in me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way to put it.
On the society level, well, I have to think about this. I don't really know. I think it's mostly a spiritual theme. Oh, No, maybe you're right. Yes, I would say that once having found out being really connected to God, I was more able to bring myself to a point where I really was able to take responsibility.
And what do you mean by take responsibility? I have a feeling of it, but if you have words for it, I think that would be great.
Yeah, well, you know, my editorial work for the Reiki magazine over years, it was very interesting inspiring, but on one level, I just did something on one level during all these years. And now with the process that Jürgen gave away the magazine and that it came to me, it's a whole process for me to coming more and more into life. And, you know, managing a Reiki center now and an office, and, you know, I have all these problems with the guys who do the telephone and this, and, you know, and all the problems that you have in daily life. We moved in our personal life. My wife and I, we married. We moved in a house with a garden. I do a lot of garden work in the summer. I did never before. You know, all these things somehow more connected to the world around me. And I was not able to, so for me personally, I was not able to find this connection the years before.
Beautiful. So I just wonder if you can put into words, or if you think that as a group, you know, of Reiki, of practicing Reiki people, whatever the form is, what do you think that we're contributing to something in the world just by being Reiki students?
Can you repeat the question? We work on what?
Sorry.
I didn't get it. Sorry.
I understand why. So given this change in your in yourself about, you know, your life and how this touching, this understanding that there is a God and so on, and how it's changed your daily life. I imagine, because this is a very familiar story and also a very beautiful story for many, many people who are Reiki students, given this as a collective or a gathering of people who are all over the world, do you feel that this shift in individual lives can actually make a difference in the feeling of a society?
Well, you mean for me personally?
Yeah, what's your personal opinion about our impact on the in the communities in which we live?
Well, sure that it changes everything if first you did not believe in God and then you do it. Sure, this has a deep impact on everything. I would say, yeah. And if you bring this into the community. Well, again, I don't have to convince somebody, but it's if it just happens and the flow is there, it's okay. But you know, Reiki is only the energy. For me, it's not Reiki is God. So Reiki is the energy, and whatever religion or belief system you have, or even no belief system, you can use it. And then it's the question, if on the spiritual level, how you connect to the bigger circumstance.
Right. Good. Well, that's wonderful. We have another station break, and we'll be back with Oliver Klatt for our last segment in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Verimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion.
We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to enter the Psychic Cafe? Most of us believe in the healing power of meditation, but how can we fit it into our daily lives? What are our spirit guides trying to tell us? What are chakras, and what secrets do they hold in our lives? Are there really ghosts? Should we be afraid of them? These questions and more will be explored in the Psychic Cafe with host Mary Salpi, a renowned psychic and medium. Here to help you, the Psychic Cafe. Heard Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Oliver Klott, and we've been speaking about connection and gathering, and I've been really inspired by some of the things that you've been sharing with us, Oliver. And I'm wondering, how did this connection that you have now with your spirituality affect the tone of the magazine, do you think?
Yeah. I see. Well, I have begun to write on the title since 2 or 3 issues. I have to begin to write 2 words new on the title. It's healing and spiritual life.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And so these 2 words describe two spaces that I want to open more for the Reiki magazine in Germany. And still, the basis is Reiki, and our readers are mostly the Reiki community, people who are practicing Reiki, teaching Reiki. And also, I see that there's some wish and much openness here in Germany to see more and to become more open for the whole theme of healing and spiritual life. And again, in these 2 basis, it's the same tolerance and acceptance for everything that has a certain integrity. So I don't let something out or so. I'm open for everything that has a certain integrity.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's great. And you serve both masters and students? I mean, or is it geared as an open publication?
Yeah, I serve masters and students, and through the whole development of Reiki, and so you know that many people who have the title of master or teacher.
Oh dear. Justin, I've lost him. Are we back again?
over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We had a little bit of an additional station break. Well, we found Oliver because he somehow dropped out, and you were saying something really beautiful, and I'm now trying to remember what. So if you can follow your train of thought, Oliver.
We talked about our readers, the readers of the German Reiki magazine.
Oh,
and
right.
Well, I would say the magazine is open for everybody who is practicing, teaching Reiki, and or is interested in healing or energy medicine.
Uh-huh, great. And if you could imagine the overall effect, because a lot of people have put out that, you know, they want as many people to practice Reiki as possible because they feel that it will change the quality of the decisions that are being made in our world, not just by governments, but by individual people, that we can promote a certain well-being and perhaps even world peace. Is that something that you connect with?
Yes. Yes.
And what are your words?
Practice in Reiki really helps to take the right decisions because it brings you in contact with the, well, you can say inner self or God or whatever or what your soul. And then it is very easy, if you are really honest to yourself, to do the right decisions for you, and this is where it starts to, where you change the society, when everybody's doing it for himself or herself, then it just happens in society.
Uh-huh. And this is very different than being selfish.
Yes.
Can you articulate the difference?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you just have to
open the space to real be of service for others, I think.
Uh-huh. And
then if you really are open for all this, you see that it also helps yourself. To develop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've often thought that service really takes a kind of motivation that has no attachment. No needs attached from the person who's serving. And I've been working on this for a long time, and even though what I do looks like service sometimes, for me there is, if I have an attachment of reward or benefit, then I don't really consider that to be service. It might be doing beneficial work, but I don't know about the word service. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think if you're really of service for others, it's just going through, like in a Reiki treatment, the energy is going through you, and you don't try to manage it, you don't try to direct it. It just happens, and it's the same for the service, and every other service may be of help for others or may be good or not, but it's not the, well, let's say true service or pure service. I don't know which word is good, but I think there's a quality of letting through and just being without attachment. Yeah, I agree with you.
But you said it more, it's very beautiful what you said. And how, if you had another sentence to tell our listeners about living a life in Reiki, what would that be?
Living a life with Reiki is, well, just helpful for your development on all levels, for yourself and for all other people.
Thank you very much, Oliver, for your interview today. It was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.